Dear family and friends, we have gathered this afternoon for the funeral service of Mrs. Berendina, or as we knew her, Dini Coppard, born June 13, 1928. Beloved wife of late Ari Coppard, taken into glory June 28, 2021. 2 weeks, approximately, after her 93rd birthday. On behalf of the family, we welcome you all who have gathered with us here in person or those who gather with us via live stream. Let me begin with a word of sympathy at this moment as we remember this bittersweet loss of your mom, your oma, your sister, or your aunt, or your friend. When death comes to us, we all know, and a loved one enters, goes from us, we all know this is a calling for all of us. It's always a calling for us. But what a difference. Last Sunday, you have sang together those beautiful words. What a comfort. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. So death is calling us to trust in the God in whose hands are the issues of life. And therefore, let's express that trust as we begin this together with a word of prayer. Let us pray together. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Alpha and Omega. These are thy words. These are the words that comfort us and strengthen us. Our times are in thy hands. There's a time to be born and a time to die. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Lord, as we come for this funeral service, we look to thee. We look to thee, the God of life and death, the God who is sovereign over all circumstances in our lives. And so, Lord, we come to thee as the God of all grace and all comfort. And we pray, Lord, come with thy Holy Spirit to speak to our souls, to comfort and to strengthen and to build us up of all those of us who remain in the land of the living. O Lord, death indeed is our last enemy when we are thine. It's bitter because of our sins. It's bitter because we have fallen. But thou, O Lord, are the one who has carried Mrs. Coppard all the way till her last breath over the Jordan of death into glory. And Lord, thou hast ended her pilgrimage from this world to that city which has foundations. And we thank thee, Lord, for carrying, for helping, for sustaining the city for which she looked. And we pray, Lord, as we come before thee at this moment, that thou wouldst come with and receive all the glory, that thou wouldst be near to us, that thou wouldst speak to us. Thou receivest all the glory, Lord, because thou art the one who has washed through the blood of the Lamb. We pray especially for brother and sisters here in this area or in BC. Will thou please be near to them specifically? Extend thy grace to them today. Be a God who prepares also them, for them a place, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. And Lord, as we open the scriptures, we pray that the comfort of the Holy Spirit might flow with might and power. And we pray that those who don't know thee and live for their own account that they would be drawn irresistibly by the power of thy Holy Spirit to thyself and see thy love and see thy grace and know that thou art the only way of salvation, that thou art the one who forgives sin, that there is balm in Gilead through the gospel. Be with all the children here, Lord, that each one of them, each of the next generation, might praise the Lord, might know the Lord, might serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And affirm us in this time specifically, Lord, of that truth of the gospel, that we with renewed assurance may know, I, with body and soul, in life and death, am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior who bought me with the price of his blood, who preserves me so that not a hair can fall from my head as long as I live and the devil cannot do anything. Oh, Lord, we thank thee and we pray that also through this time together, we might be assured through the gospel by the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in eternal life. We pray then for thy comforting presence in Jesus' name. Amen. For our scripture reading, I would like to direct ourselves to two passages. First of all, Psalm 130. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And then we turn to the last chapter of the Bible and we pick up our reading of Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And we begin our reading at verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Dear family, as we remember your dearly loved mom and grandmother and sister and aunt and great-grandmother, there are several memories that fill my mind and obviously will fill your mind. But there's one that was especially special to me. It's probably 4 to 4.5 years ago. It was in the days that they still lived in the house that Dwayne and Linda live in now. It was during Passion season, and Mom was struggling. You know that she was struggling regularly, and then she needed comfort from the Scriptures. And that's what I was called to do by the grace of God. And I took the Word of God with me and a little booklet about the incomparable Christ. And as we talked and as we opened the Scriptures, the light came on. She was in the darkness, and the light came on, and the darkness lifted, and we had these beautiful moments that we knew the Lord was with us. He was in our midst as we pointed her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's often how visits began when I came to her, when the light of the Scriptures shone into her life, it broke through. And that's what we see here in this psalm that we have before us as well. That the light breaks through. We see basically two words, crying and waiting. Two words that we are going to consider and meditate on together for a moment. And both of these words she knew, crying and waiting. Crying out of the depth. Especially in the last years after Dad died, there was this waiting. Sometimes she asked, how long, waiting, quietly waiting for full salvation. And so these two words are to guide our meditation for a moment, crying and waiting, as we turn to this psalm. This song is a song in minor key. It begins down in the valley. It's written by a pilgrim who was going to Jerusalem, the city that was where God dwelled with his people. He was traveling, and he came through the valley, and then he came to that hilltop. And is that not a picture of the life of a child of God? As a pilgrim, we go through the valleys, and we come to the hills. At times, we go back into those valleys. And that's what we see here in this psalm. It starts down in the valley and it brings you up into the hilltop. Verse 1 is there in the valley. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord, crying. We all know what that is, don't we? Crying. We enter life with a cry. We cry when we lose someone or something that's appropriate, especially when it's someone whom we loved. We cry when we mourn, sometimes with tears and sometimes without tears, sometimes just with the heart. Crying is that what we do when we don't know what to do, when we don't have help. when we might be depressed or when we might be down or in despair. It's crying. And this, there's many reasons why we can cry, but here the psalmist cries out of the depth, and we don't know exactly what these depths were, but when we listen to the Psalter, we hear often, deep calls unto deep by the noise of the waterspouts. Thy waves and billows are all gone over me. Psalm 42, for instance. Those are the deeps. I sink into deep mire. Children of God know what that is sometimes. I sink in deep mire. I have no standing. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. When the waters overflow, thou hast brought me. Also, the psalmist says at times, out of the lowest pit, out of darkness, out of distress, out of the deeps. And that's the idea I hear when we listen to these words, out of the depth I cry unto thee. When we feel overwhelmed, when we have a place where we cannot stand, when we have no sure footing under our feet. The depths are places where we cannot stand. And then we cry. We say, help me, Lord. And the psalmist knows where to go. Out of the depth have I cried to thee, O Lord. He knew in times of trouble, I can go to the Lord. When I feel overwhelmed, do we know that too? What a comfort to know. Your mom, your grandmother or great-grandmother knew this. She knew the direction. Crying out of the depth unto the Lord. As we come together to mourn together, that's what we may do, cry. We may cry unto the Lord. We may cry in our sadness. We may cry in our sorrow. We may cry in our mourning. I cry to the Lord. The Lord, the covenant-keeping God. The covenant-keeping God. The faithful one. Who's full of mercy. This crying is not only out of the depth, it's an urgent cry. Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Supplications is earnest pleading. Lord, bow down thine ear. Listen to me. I need to know that thou art hearing me. That's what it is. And it says here, Lord, that's not all capital letters, so not the covenant Jehovah, but the one who has created this universe, the master of all things, the maker of all things, the one whom we are called to love with all our soul and mind and heart. That one. The one we ought to obey out of the heart with all our strength, not living for ourselves, but living for Him, the Master of the universe, the Almighty God. Hear my voice. Listen to my pleas. I need thee out of the depth. I need help. Why is this psalmist crying out of the depth? Why so much urgency? Verse 3. If thou shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? In other words, if the supreme King of kings and Lord of lords of the universe, of the whole world, would come and mark our iniquity and point them out in our lives and keep a record of that, of our iniquities, that is that twisted bend of our hearts to live for ourselves and to live for our sinful desires and distorted desires, that bend of towards things that are forbidden, our evil hearts by nature and by ourselves, and what we want. We who are created to live and enjoy the presence of the Lord, His holy presence. We who have gone astray, if He would come and mark our iniquities, our twisted desires, if that Creator would come to us and do that and make a list for us, we as servants, we are called to be servants of this God of the universe, this Holy One, must come and punish each of these sins. He hates the least of our sins. When you and I are not saved, then that is the reality. God is keeping a record. It is appointed unto men, to the ones to die, and then the judgment, and then to appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And then we will be reckoned according to all the works we have done, whether it's good or evil, every idle work, every sinful thought, every impure motive, each action that we have done. If the Lord would write them all down, and He does, if we are outside of Jesus Christ, this twisted bend of our hearts, the pure and holy and spotless God, then we have to cry out, if Thou wouldst mark iniquity, Lord, who can stand? I can stand before a holy and a just God. I can die and meet Him. I am not ready if He would mark all our iniquity, and I would have no hope in Jesus Christ. And He would give me perfect justice, then we would all be condemned to that the depth of hell, God's wrath. But dear family, have you come to that place where you realize these two truths? I am a sinner. And you come out of the depth and you have learned to cry for salvation. And you know the desperate load of your sin, your need for salvation. If you don't, then one day, if you continue to live like that, you will call the rocks and the hills to cover you, because you have no covering for the judge of all the earth, who is pure and holy and spotless, who sits upon the throne. That great day of wrath we read about in Revelation. Who shall be able to stand, it says there. No one who is not saved, who has no hope in Jesus Christ. And that's why this psalmist, he feels something of this. Have you felt that too? If God would do this to me, then yes, we mourn the loss of a loved one, but we have actually far greater loss, the loss of our eternal soul. That's the greatest loss we can have. Oh, that we would be awakened if we are still outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist knew where to go. He cried out of those depths unto the Lord. And then he says this beautiful word, this amazing word in verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There's only one place we can go with our sinfulness. We can cry out for the burden of our sins. We cannot save ourselves. No one can ever save ourselves. He can do it. He has given His Son for the forgiveness of sins. Has that sentence, but there is forgiveness with thee, has that become music into your ears? When you know you have guilt and shame and sin, that becomes precious to us when we are saved. That sentence, but there is forgiveness with thee. Why? Because He laid the sins of His people upon Him, upon Jesus Christ. He spared not His own Son, but gave Him over into death itself. Took the wrath of God in my place. Why? That thou mayest be feared. He releases us from the burden of sin so that we would be in awe of Him. And honor Him and have this deep reverence in our hearts and this deep humility and this joyful surrender. Here am I. I'm Thy servant, O Lord. I will serve Thee with all of that is in me. Cover my sin. That's what we need, to die in peace. To die in peace. To appear before that one who keeps record of our sins. And then we know he is our Savior. He's not our judge, but our Savior who paid that price for my sins. Have you learned to cry like that? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That brings us to the second part of this psalm. The second word was waiting. We first thought about crying out. Now we think about waiting. The cries were urgent, but the waiting is urgent too. The waiting has everything to do. We want the Lord to be near and to comfort our souls and to uphold us in all the valleys and all the hills and the valleys of life. We need to know His presence with us. His presence, and one day eternally in His presence. That's what we want to know. And so that's why there's this urgent waiting. In verse 5, we see that this the word grows in intensity when it says, "Wait for the Lord, and my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." Waiting is never passive. It's always active. It's always, as it were, standing on guard, expecting the Lord to come. When Dad passed away, that's what Mom was doing, was looking forward. It was not always as clear. Sometimes she was in those valleys. But she was waiting, nevertheless. And then sometimes I brought this word to her, Psalm 138. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord's way is perfect. He will perfect what He has begun by His grace. And so that's waiting. Are we waiting? Are we waiting? And if so, what are we waiting for? The psalmist says, I'm waiting for the Lord. Are we waiting for Christ to return on the clouds? Waiting to see our Savior when one day He comes again? And this waiting was urgent for the psalmist. And so should our waiting be for the Lord. Waiting with earnest expectation. How? How did He wait? He waited by putting His trust by the grace of God through the power of the Spirit again and again in the promises and in the Word of God. In Thy Word do I hope. That's what we need to do too. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all the load of my sin. And you see, he pictures that for us, this waiting. A watchman. A watchman would sit on the wall of the city, and he would watch for danger, and then he would warn the city if danger would approach, and think about it. He would sit there and wait for the morning when everything, all the dark would clear up, and he would go through the dark, and maybe at times he would say, "When is the morning coming?" He knows it is coming one day. When is the morning coming? And that's what it says here in verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord eagerly, more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Children, if you have ever been waiting in the morning for, and you were too early to go out of your bed, and you were perhaps not allowed by your parents, and you lay there in the dark, and you're hoping that you can go out of bed. Now this psalmist says, I'm waiting in the dark, still in the dark, still in the shadows, but I'm waiting for that first glimmer of light of the new morning. Who is that light? Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. I will dispel all your darkness. That's what the psalmist is waiting for the light of Jesus Christ to shine in our darkness. And as we are here together, we remember the funeral service of Dad Coppard when he died. What did we hear? And Jesus stood on the shore. Do you remember? Do you remember? Early in the morning, he came to visit his disciples. Early in the morning, Dad was taken away. Early in the morning, Mom was taken away. Jesus stood on the shore, the shores of eternity. And that light that shines and so brightly will be a welcome light for all those who are in Christ Jesus, but will be too bright for those who walk in darkness, in the darkness of their sins. It will be a joyful day for all those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Every believer looks forward to that day, waits expectantly to meet our Savior who gave Himself on the cross for me, to die for me, so much He loved me, and to rise for me in a new life so that I can be found on that new morning in new life. When I at in righteousness at last, thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee, to view those glories that abide, then my soul shall be satisfied. And so the psalmist waits. And so each believer waits still, not passively, because what does he next do next? That's the text on the card. Verse 7. He's inviting all to come. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. When we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we want to invite all others. When we know that where sin, my sin, abounded, there the grace of God was much more abounding, much more overflowing, a grace greater than my sin, then we want to know others that come and experience that very same grace, His mercy, His full redemption that is full and free, is the price that He paid, redemption, the price that He paid to take me away as a slave out of my sin, from the just wrath of God. Christ paid it all. God has forgiven me. And as we look to the cross and we believe in the Son of the Lord, Son of God's love, then we know there is plenteous redemption, overflowing redemption. When we trust with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment God looks upon us as spotless through Jesus Christ, sinless. And that's what we want to tell. This is possible for you too. By the grace of God, look to Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The obituary tells us how many children, how many grandchildren who of us, of the family, have passed away. That means the next generation. There's a next generation now. One generation in your family has passed away. And who's going to tell? Who's going to tell the next generation about this overflowing grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you tell? Will you tell the next generation and the next until the Lord comes? Are we waiting like that, dear family? That's how we should wait. It's certain He's coming. Just as it's certain every night that the morning comes until the glorious new morning comes. And He shall redeem all Israel from all his iniquities. So you see, the psalmist has climbed out of the depth, and now he stands as it were as a pilgrim on the hilltop, and he can see it. There is forgiveness, there is redemption, plenteous redemption. He climbs on the hilltop and he rejoices. There is full and free redemption from all iniquities, not just when I feel bad and feel guilty and ashamed, not just from the worst of my sin, not just from those who are past sins and or present sins or future sins. No, all iniquities, all those crooked things in our heart. He can do it. He will do it for all those who come and call upon Him. Why? Because He cried out, my God, out of the depth have I cried unto the Lord. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He was not heard. He was in the darkness. Therefore, God can extend forgiveness and forgive us all iniquities and take away all the wrath of God that needs to lean upon us and destroy us forever. He stood there condemned in my place. And God marked the iniquities that I had and laid it upon Him. Condemned. And yet, because He was pure and spotless, He could go through death and hell and sustain the wrath of God and come forth triumphantly, I am the resurrection and the life. And He waits, most blessedly, He waits to be with His children, each one of them, each one of them. And none will remain behind. He calls them. The last chapter we read together for a reason. Behold, I come quickly. It says, blessed is he that keeps my sayings, the prophecy of this book. I will come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his deeds. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And those who by the grace of God have taken refuge in Jesus Christ and learned to do his commandments with our falterings still, yes, but they will have a right to the tree of life, and they will enter into the gates of the city, that city, the new Jerusalem, the new day. Those who are homesick will come home. Finally, He will welcome them. Those who have gone through depths and have stood on the hilltops and sometimes saw with clarity there's a new morning coming, those will come home in the new Jerusalem. Pilgrims were going to the old Jerusalem, a city here on earth, but the new Jerusalem will be far more glorious. There the blessed presence of the glory of God will shine around us forever, and there we will be truly blessed and happy when our names are written in His book of life. If not, I urge you, because those who are not written in the book of the Lamb, those who have loved their sins more than Jesus Christ, that's what it comes down to. Those will be outside. Oh, that you would see Jesus Christ. He invites here still in this last chapter as well. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God gives it. He says, come, take, drink of the grace of God. It is free. I pay the price. Look to the cross. Look to the grave. And let that quench your thirst. And let that make you look for that eternal morning, so that as we heard from that same chapter, we can say, I know my Redeemer lives, but it says this, I am the bright and morning star. Surely I come quickly. One day, that bright and morning star is the first star to appear when the new morning comes. Jesus Christ, the new morning, is the first to appear in glory. And he says, I come quickly. I come quickly. Are you crying out? Are you trusting? Are you waiting? Are you ready? Oh, that each one of us would cry out and learn to wait with expectancy for that new and glorious morning of the resurrection. And say, as we heard also from that chapter, amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.